Okay, so today we're diving into a case that really makes you think about fairness in the legal system.
Yeah, this one's a classic.
Mitchell v. W.T. Grant Co. It all boils down to this question: how far can creditors go to collect a debt?
Especially when it comes to actually seizing property.
Right. Imagine this: you buy some furniture, you're all excited to get it set up at home,
Oh, yeah.
but then you miss a payment or two, and suddenly, boom, the furniture's gone.
Poof.
And you never even got a chance to explain what happened or work something out.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Mr. Mitchell in this case.
Yeah, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court.
No kidding. So what exactly happened?
Well, Mitchell bought some furniture on an installment plan from W.T. Grant Co.
Okay, pretty standard.
Right. But then he defaulted on the payments.
Oh.
Now, Grant Co. was worried that he might try to sell the furniture or hide it to avoid paying what he owed.
So they decided to take action.
They did. They went to court and got a writ of sequestration.
A writ of what now?
It sounds fancy, but it's basically a court order that lets a creditor seize the property in question.
So they can just take it, just like that.
Well, there's supposed to be a process.
Right, due process. Everyone's entitled to a fair hearing.
Exactly. But here's where things get really interesting. The Louisiana court granted the writ ex parte.
Ex parte. What does that mean?
It means Mitchell wasn't even present at the hearing. He had zero notice that this was happening, no chance to defend himself before they went and took his furniture.
Wow, that seems pretty harsh. I mean, what if there was a good reason he missed the payments? What if there was some kind of misunderstanding?
That's exactly what Mitchell argued. He said that taking his property without any notice or a chance to be heard violated his right to due process under the 14th Amendment.
I mean, it does seem like a pretty basic right, doesn't it? To at least be able to say your side of the story.
You would think so. And that's the big question that the Supreme Court had to grapple with.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat here. Did they side with Mitchell?
Well, it's not that simple. The court had to weigh Mitchell's right to due process against the creditor's right to protect their interest in the property.
Right, because Grant Co. did have a legal claim to the furniture until it was paid off, right?
Exactly. It's not just about who gets the couch.
It's about deeper legal principles.
Exactly. It all comes down to this idea of a vendor's lien.
So tell me more about that. What is a vendor's lien?
Basically, it's a legal claim the seller has on the goods until they're fully paid for. It's like saying, hey, I still own a part of this couch until you finish paying me for it.
Okay, so it's not like Mitchell just borrowed the furniture. It was more like Grant Co. was still a partial owner until he held up his end of the bargain.
Precisely, and that's what made this case so tricky. The court had to balance these competing interests, the right to due process, and the right to protect property rights.
Wow, this is getting complicated. So how did the Supreme Court even begin to unravel this?
Well, they had to look at the specifics of Louisiana law and whether it violated the Constitution. And trust me, the decision was far from straightforward. It sparked a ton of debate among the justices.
Okay, well, let's take a breath and unpack all of that after a quick break. We'll be right back with more on Mitchell v.W.T. Grant Co. and what it means for due process rights. Okay, so before the break, we were talking about how the Supreme Court had to decide whether seizing Mitchell's furniture without any notice was even legal.
Right. A pretty big question.
So what did they say? Was Louisiana's law in line with the Constitution, or?
Well, this is where it gets even more interesting.
Oh, boy.
The court actually upheld the Louisiana law.
Really? So they said it was okay to just take someone's stuff without a hearing.
Well, not exactly. It's not quite that simple. The court's decision was based on some very specific safeguards that were built into the Louisiana law.
Okay, so there were some conditions.
Exactly. These safeguards were crucial to the court's decision. They weren't just giving a free pass to creditors.
So what were these safeguards? I'm dying to know what could possibly justify taking someone's property like that.
Okay, so first of all, Grant Co. had to post a bond.
A bond. What does that mean?
It basically means they had to put up some money that would go to Mitchell if the seizure turned out to be wrong.
Ah, so it's like a kind of insurance for Mitchell.
Exactly. It makes sure that if they were wrong to seize the furniture, Mitchell wouldn't be left high and dry.
and it probably discourages creditors from just seizing property willy-nilly.
Right. They have to be pretty confident that they're in the right because they could lose that bond money.
Okay, that makes sense. What else? What other safeguards were there?
Another important one was that a judge had to actually review the evidence before approving the seizure order.
So not just some clerk rubber stamping it.
Right. It had to be a judge who looked at the situation and decided that there was enough evidence to justify the seizure.
Okay, so there was some judicial oversight involved. That makes me feel a little better.
And the third safeguard, and maybe the most important one, is that Mitchell still had the right to a hearing after the seizure.
So he wasn't completely shut out of the process.
Exactly. It wasn't about preventing the seizure altogether, but about making sure that Mitchell had a chance to challenge it in court soon after it happened.
So at this hearing, did Grant Coe have to prove that they were right to seize the furniture?
Absolutely. They couldn't just take the furniture and call it a day. They had the burden of proof.
So even though the seizure happened first, Mitchell still had a chance to fight back.
Right. The court recognized that sometimes due process means making sure there's a fair hearing after the fact.
So it's not always about preventing the action, but making sure there's a way to challenge it.
Precisely. Yeah. The court was basically saying that due process isn't some rigid one-size-fits-all concept. It's about fairness. And sometimes a post-deprivation hearing is enough to ensure that.
Okay, so due process can adapt to different situations.
Exactly. And in this case, the court decided that those safeguards in Louisiana's law were enough to strike a balance between the competing interests.
The creditor's right to protect their property,
yeah,
and the debtor's right to due process.
Right. They weren't saying that seizing property before a hearing is always okay. Huh? It all depended on the specific circumstances.
Hmm. I'm starting to see how this case is about way more than just furniture repossession.
Oh, absolutely. It had a huge impact on how we think about due process in all sorts of situations.
Especially when it comes to debt collection and the government taking action that affects someone's property.
Right. And it's also important to remember that not everyone agreed with the outcome of this case.
Oh, really? There were dissenting opinions.
Oh, yeah. Some of the justices had some pretty strong disagreements with the majority's reasoning.
Okay, well, we definitely need to unpack those different perspectives, because it sounds like Mitchell v. W.T. Grant is a case with a lot of layers.
You got that right. It's a landmark decision that continues to shape legal debates about due process even today.
All right, so let's get into those differing opinions. You mentioned some justices weren't totally on board with the majority's decision.
Oh, yeah. Even some who agreed with the outcome had different reasons for getting there.
So like what, were they just nitpicking or were there some fundamental disagreements?
Well, one example is Justice Powell. He agreed that Louisiana's law was constitutional. BLKT, he had some issues with a previous case, Fuentes v. Chevin.
Ah, the one that seemed to require a hearing before any seizure.
Exactly. Powell felt that Fuentes was too rigid, didn't leave enough room for practical considerations.
So he thought Mitchell got it right, but maybe for the wrong reasons.
Kind of, yeah. He wanted to move away from these bright line rules and focus more on finding a fair constitutional accommodation.
Basically, a more flexible approach, right?
Yeah,
looking at the whole picture instead of just one specific requirement.
Right. And he thought the safeguards in Louisiana's law achieved that. They struck a good balance.
Okay, so that's one perspective. What about the dissent? You said some justices flat out disagreed with the whole idea of seizing property before a hearing.
Oh, yeah. Justice Stewart was pretty vocal about that.
I bet.
Yeah.
What were his main arguments against the majority's decision?
Well, he basically said that a hearing after the fact is too late to really protect someone's rights.
I can see his point.
Mm.
There's a big difference between getting your stuff back and never having it taken in the first place.
Exactly. Stewart argued that the potential harm of losing your property even temporarily can be huge.
Especially if it's something essential, like a car or your work tools.
Right. And he felt that delaying the hearing just wasn't worth that risk.
That's a really compelling argument. It makes you think about the real-world impact of these decisions.
Definitely. And what's interesting is that Stewart's dissent kind of foreshadowed future cases where the court actually did demand stronger protections before property could be taken.
So Mitchell wasn't the end of the story. It's marked an ongoing conversation about due process.
Right. And it paved the way for a more nuanced understanding of what due process really means.
So not just a one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly. The specific procedures that are required can vary depending on the situation, what's at stake.
So what does all this mean for our listeners? If they ever find themselves in a situation like Mitchell's, what should they do?
Well, first off, know your rights. Mitchell showed us that states can experiment with different ways to balance creditor and debtor rights.
So even if there's no pre-seizure hearing, there might be other safeguards in place.
Exactly. It also opened the door for emergency seizures in certain cases, but again, only with those safeguards.
So if you're ever facing a potential seizure, demand that post-seizure hearing. Make sure you understand the rules in your state.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to seek legal advice if you need it.
Great advice. And remember, folks, check out the show notes for more info on due process and debtors' rights.
You got you covered.
Well, I think this deep dive into Mitchell v. W.T. Grant has shown us that due process isn't just some abstract legal concept.
Yeah, it has real consequences for people's lives.
states have to walk a fine line, protecting both creditors and debtors, making sure the system is fair for everyone.
It's all about finding that balance.
And to leave our listeners with a final thought, what if Mitchell had taken some steps to protect himself before things went south?
That's a great question. Maybe exploring credit counseling or negotiating a payment plan could have prevented the whole situation.
Sometimes being proactive is the best way to safeguard our rights.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Mitchell v. WT Grant Co. Until next time, stay curious.